If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time now to get inside your pocket and really talk about some key themes about what is happening in the environment for us as consumers, the decisions we make, how they are being influenced, especially when it comes to the protection of assets that we regard so near and dear. So tonight we're going to take a look at understanding short-term insurance habits that South Africans choose to prioritize when it comes to short-term insurance. You might recall just over 2 weeks ago we had a conversation that focused on insurance, specifically when it came to millennials and the fact that we as millennials are actually opting to have more affordable monthly premiums, but our excess is considerably higher. And that tells us something, that we're looking to take the risk that, look, I'll drive cautiously, I'll drive safely, but should I find myself in the event of an accident or having to claim, then I'll comfortably try to make sure that I've saved enough for a higher excess or payment. And that was a conversation we had with Naked Insurance. Tonight, though, we're going to take a look at a study that really gives us a wider level of understanding in terms of this dynamic. And we're joined by a good guest of the show, someone who can help us unpack consumer trends from every sphere of the economy. And most importantly, the information he shares with us not only fuels our knowledge as South Africans around what we are doing with our money, but also empowers businesses, governments, policymakers, investors to actually fully understand the market segments they'd like to enter into and how to adapt to what the needs of the environment they're looking to serve. Andrew Fulton, director at 8020, joins us on the line this evening. Always a pleasure to speak to you, Andrew.
Hello, Gugu. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. I'm hoping the weather in Cape Town cleared up quite nicely. When I left, it was still a bit chilly earlier on today.
No, it's terribly cold. It's the coldest I've ever been in Africa in my life. It really is. I've been miserable for the past couple of days.
With
no rain, but much cold. Yeah.
Got you. Well, we certainly hope it will clear, and we look forward to the summer months when it will. And perhaps I mention weather because we know that weather plays a very important influence on the outcomes of short-term insurance aspects. If you think about driving on the road and it's raining or it's foggy, it impairs your vision. Perhaps you lose control of your vehicle and you get into an accident. Within your home, perhaps if there's a thunderstorm or a significant power surge, it might impact the assets that you have in your home, like a television, electronics that you have. So it's intriguing that we're going to take a look at the short-term insurance behavior. And maybe let's just start there. Typically, when South Africans used to hear the phrase insurance, it was bemoaned as a grudge purchase. Is this still the case?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what we've seen in the data. I mean, as you mentioned, that guest you had 2 weeks ago speaking about millennials kind of taking on a higher excess instead of bigger premiums on a monthly basis. And one thing I did notice is humans are essentially really bad at assessing risk. So it's interesting how you know, maybe millennials are getting better at it. They've got more information. They can put that into their brains and make better decisions. But what we've noticed, which was surprising us, in a lot of the industries that we do work in, people are scaling back. So in the grocery places, people are scaling back to house brands from luxury brands. In the streaming services, people are cutting cords and getting rid of maybe their cable packages. But what we've seen with insurance is gross written premiums have actually gone up in short-term insurance, both from 2022 to 2023, and then again in 2024. So it doesn't seem like people are cutting it as much as they might be other kind of discretionary things that they pay for. Mm.
This is interesting. I'm assuming some lessons might have been learned from the pandemic.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, with disposable incomes under pressure from the economy now, we know that our savings are finished. And people are realizing they're probably unlikely to recover from an unexpected event. Mm-hmm. So once again, prioritize insurance, and particularly with a big name trusted provider, you know, you should be okay.
Mm. Let's talk about some of the top reasons why some South Africans don't actually have insurance.
Yeah, so Finscope is one of the surveys that we look at to figure that stuff out. They ask the top 10 reasons for not having insurance. And you know, it's interesting. I did think that what would come up high would be that people don't trust it or that they don't think it's going to pay out. But to be honest, the top reasons are I don't have a job. I don't earn enough. I'm too young. I don't need it. I'm covered by somebody else. Wow. So that trust factor doesn't even come into the top 10 list.
Hmm. That's refreshing, because I guess it does mean that South Africans have then built this level of trust towards insurance companies. What I do find intriguing, though, is that whilst we might be trusting of short-term insurance providers, the age groups on average of who does have insurance is rather intriguing. It almost seems as though the older we get, the more assets we accumulate, the more we'd like to protect them.
Yeah, I mean, often with the data, what we're trying to kind of tease out is correlation versus causation. You know, like, mm-hmm. obviously, if you are older, you tend to earn a bit more, especially in your sort of like 40s to 50s. You accumulate more assets, so therefore you should have more insurance for those assets. One of the segmentations that's been fairly popular over the last sort of 20, 30 years in South Africa is LSM. And that, you can see that there's over index of higher LSMs with insurance. But what's interesting there is LSM is actually made up of what assets you own. So it makes sense. That the segmentation has been also, there's been one added to it called SEM, which claims to not rely as heavily on assets. But that also, you know, it's almost the exact same numbers. At LSM, SEM 8, you see an over-index of insurance, and then it just skyrockets up to LSM and SEM 10. But the age thing, it starts getting over-indexed around 35. So that's when you kind of see more people than you would expect taking on short-term insurance. And then it jumps dramatically in your 50s. And then as you get older, dispose of maybe that second car, get into a smaller property with fewer items in it, you pull out of short-term insurance in your sort of 60s. Mid-60s.
Yeah. I'm glad you touched on those different market segments, I guess, the LSM versus the SEM. I've noticed it's influenced a lot of the outcomes of data that we even find here at Kaya. Our research team and head of marketing often bemoans that shift and that change, that whoa, it's murking the waters, but also adding some clarity to those numbers. And I'm keen to understand, if we do talk about, you know, affordability, so we understand South Africans are taking on short-term insurance. We trust short-term insurance providers more. Typically, the older we get, the more assets we own, the more we'd like to protect these particular assets by taking on short-term insurance. But are we able to distill how much on average we might be paying for them? Or is this, again, dependent on that income segment that one might fall into?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, the higher your income, obviously, the more disposable income you've got. So the more you're going to be spending on your assets, and the more you're going to be spending on your premiums. But what we have noticed is just the way people are researching and finding about insurance. What we also, you know, another hypothesis we had was that everything gets down to price. You know, and what we see in the data is that it primary point of purchase, when you're taking on the insurance, price isn't that important. It isn't as important, certainly, as the product attributes. Although when you renew your policies, that's when you start looking at price. So it's an interesting thing for the companies to sort of think about, that like when you're acquiring these customers, they're less price sensitive, but certainly if you want to hold on to them, you know, you've got to keep them happy on the price side.
That's intriguing, because we obviously know that does come not only down to your negotiation skills as a consumer, but how that's reflected in your behavior. Because typically a lot of insurance providers give you a no-claim bonus after a few years of staying with them. And that's part of their retention practice and policy. Is that reflected on at all in the report, just in terms of behavior?
We didn't touch on that. I mean, one of the things that's challenging about this is just how much you put into it. You know, we've got to do this in our spare time when we're not dealing with our clients. And so we kind of try to pack it as nicely as we can. But one of the things that didn't make into it was how technology is really affecting insurance as well. If you think about telematics in your car now, like you can get a really good idea of risk. I mean, if I was to take you on as a client, I'd say, okay, well, I mean, you look like a safe driver, but after a year of data, I can say categorically, this is how quick fast you're driving. This is how close you're following another car. You know, this is the nighttime when you're always driving at night.
Yep.
You know, you can get a really good idea of risk. You know, there's wearables, technology wearables now, where you can see kind of how you're behaving, what you're eating, you know, what kind of exercise you're getting. There's so much data that companies can bring to bear on that pricing thing that you know, it makes it hopefully more affordable for everyone on one side, and then more of a personalized product based on your risk profile. So you feel that you're really, you know, getting the best value you can out of that insurance.
Just how much of the claims process plays an influence on the selection or choice of an insurance provider?
Yeah, no, that's obviously, I mean, customer service, certainly, once again. And that's also around, it's not when you're taking on the insurance because you don't know. It's unknown for both parties. But after you've had a year or two of experience, you can kind of see how these things are being treated. Yeah.
Got you. Other factors that do influence how we actually choose our short-term insurance provider, and I find this so intriguing, right? Because you typically witness this behavior when someone's buying a new vehicle, or perhaps is a first-time vehicle purchaser, and it's like, ooh, I like this car. This is the installment I've worked out, but now I've got a headache finding the right short-term insurance provider because you're trying to get the most affordable deal, but also one that matches your cover. And we have these conversations at the water cooler, at the parking lot after the school drop-off with friends, and maybe even around the boardroom with a few colleagues to say, who are you insured with? But are there other ways within which we actually look for short-term insurance providers?
Yeah, and that was interesting because it is very much different based on your income level. We've got our segmentation, the 80-20 national segmentation, and four of the wealthier segments are the mass credit market, the middle class market, the heavy hitters, and the comfortable retirees. The number one way people choose their short-term insurance provider is to do research online. So they go onto websites, they look and they could read what people write about different companies. They look at the websites. The second most popular is calling a company for quotes. And that's particularly with the mass credit market. So those are your sort of 5 to 10,000 rand earning South Africans who are just getting the credit market. The third most popular is still contacting a broker. If you think about how, you know, maybe OUTsurance and other companies kind of turn that model on its head, brokers still very relevant. And the third most, common way of taking on insurance, but that's a very middle class behavior. And then the really wealthy, and it's interesting, they're over-indexed on asking advice from family members. And maybe it's that, you know, if generally if you are wealthy, you've got wealthy friends and wealthy family. Mm. So, you know, you can see what they're doing. They've made good decisions. They've found a good provider and they can help you out with that.
100%. Interesting. I guess at least we are having these conversations instead of just being shy around them and really being reflective of what our needs are, what will be comfortable for our pockets and the kind of risk that we'd like to cover. So really refreshing. A quick one I just want to squeeze in there in the nick of time before my technical producer side-eyes me. Andrew, you mentioned technology and data. I'm also keen to understand if the process of actually getting and receiving a quote for short-term insurance also makes it easier. And I ask this deliberately because we've seen a heightened level of growth in telesure companies. And those are typically those that you can open up an app, input your documentation and details, take a picture of the asset you'd like to have covered, and then boom, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, yeah. And then a lot of that's now being processed by AI. You know, there's not even a human being that's looking at that. It's sort of, you know, it's looking for keywords. It's seeing how you answer those questions. It's looking at photographs and then saying, okay, well, let's write that. Let's get that premium to you much quicker and faster than if a human being was to kind of look at all that, read that, process that and get you a quote.
100%.
Very much. And then even in that service side as well, you know, when you contact an insurance company, you're unlikely to speak to a human being. You're going to be speaking to a bot. It's hopefully going to answer your questions very well and get you the answer you need quickly without having to waste time on waiting for a human being to answer your call and answer your question.
We appreciate that it speeds up the process, but sometimes you just want to speak to a human, Andrew, right? Instead of four claims processes, press one. To verify your cover, press two. I think I could get a job in that industry. Let's see. Another way of...
Well, I think you're in your industry because you want to talk to people. So, yeah.
That's true.
Slightly different in your career, yeah.
Very true. Andrew, such a pleasure speaking to you. Truly appreciate your time as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Andrew Fulton, director at 80-20, joining us to help us understand the short-term insurance habits of South Africans. And I think really encouraging. If there's anything we know, we work very hard to earn the income we have. So whether you're buying a laptop or a car, your latest PC, the TV in your home and the furniture that's in it, these are all assets that we do need to protect from any kind of risk, whether it's theft or fire, accident, many of these themes are very possible to happen, and sometimes we don't know when or how, and sometimes they don't happen. But it does help to have that buffer of coverage to know that should you lose this particular asset, you have access to be able to replace it. And that's essentially what insurance really does serve. It's that buffer, that level of comfort that is required in knowing that you can access the necessary funds and the support to replace assets that you've worked hard for. But share your thoughts with us. Are you a South African who has kept up with your insurance? Not just the premiums, but you are very clear in understanding your level of trust towards insurance providers, how it is that you access them. Tell us what themes you've noticed. You can share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. You've all been incredibly quiet tonight, so send them through. If not, we just might have a robotics show doing the show tonight. I'm teasing. That's my way of trying to imitate the call center robots.
On Kaya 959. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on Kaya 959.